Welcome, everybody. Happy 4th of July weekend. I'm wearing my blue and red, as you can see. My name is Coley, and I'm so glad you've joined us today for our online service. If you have a prayer request or want to connect with a pastor, please contact us through our app or email us at the email address on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is available to download on both Android and Apple devices. You can also access our daily Bible reading plan, and also all of our past weekend service videos are available on the app. I want to thank you so much for your ongoing support and generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online either through the app or website if you haven't done so already. And for those of you who prefer to mail in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church and send it to the address below. If you want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ now or at any point during our service, please email us at the address on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. And one of our pastors will personally follow up with you and pray for you and encourage you about what next steps look like. Thanks for being with us today online. And don't forget, it's also a communion weekend. We encourage you to continue to worship with us for the rest of the service. So let's pray before we dive in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. And God, we bring our whole selves into service today, surrendering them to you. May you be glorified in our worship today. Meet with us now. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Let's worship together, CA.
Conquer the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for us. for us. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Sing worthy. Oh, worthy, worthy. Say this is amazing grace. This is a
sing, all joy will be, all joy.
joy. Let's sing it again. All joy will be complete. All pain will finally leave. When we see Him, when we see Him, no need for tears or fear. Yes, we'll know that He is near. When we see Him, when we see Him in His glory, we will see Him. Amen. Sing like this. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Sing that again. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. There is an army rising up, say, there's an army rising up.
Yes,
there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
You've been with us, you know that we've sung this song many times, but the thought that came to me even as we're singing it now was, have you ever paused in the middle of the day to say, God, I need you to break these chains right now? And maybe we've sung this song, but what I'm calling us to in this moment is to say, to use our own words, to find your own words in this moment and say, God, I'm so desperate. I am lost without you. If you don't change me, my life is sunk. So tell him in your own words and say, God, I need you to break every chain represented. And when you watch this today, I believe it's not just a song you're singing. It's not just a song you're hearing, but we're inviting the very power of God to come in right now in that living room to break every chain, to break every chain. For there is healing, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. Sing this verse with me. Say,
there is healing in the name of Jesus.
We believe it. We believe it. I believe it. Sing like this with me, say, hallelujah, 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 oh, hallelujah, one more time, hallelujah, say, hallelujah, 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 that's why we praise Him, oh, that's why we praise Him, that's why we
Happy 4th of July to all the CA family and any guests who are joining us this weekend. My name is Mark, and apart from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ powerfully at work in my life, both saving me and sanctifying me, I'm a piece of work. I'm a first-class mess. We began a brand-new five-week teaching series in the summer entitled To Tell the Truth. There was a show I remember my parents watching entitled, called To Tell the Truth, and they had people on the stage, two of who were lying and one who was telling the truth. And the object was to find the one who was telling the truth. Well, we're going to talk this summer about truth, especially as it steps us into the freedom that Jesus comes to offer. I want to begin by just telling you some truth about me. I suffer from a very severe condition. That condition is called the blind spot syndrome. It showed its ugly head again in the last couple of months when this COVID pandemic began to break out. We were all glued to news reports because it seemed like every day we were finding out something new. And what was clear was they said that they knew this for certain, that those who were 60 and over, who they classified as senior citizens, they said to be extremely careful because you are in the highest risk category. And I remember sitting on my couch. I leaned forward as I listened to the report. And with a sort of an attitude, I said, you know, them seniors better be really careful. They better watch their P's and their Q's. Now, if you can see me, I look in a mirror, I see myself. If I was to ask, how many of you think I'm closer to 40? How many of you think I'm closer to 50? There's no hands raised yet. How many of you think I'm closer to 60? There's still no hands raised. And how many of you think I'm closer to 70? Well, this, my friend, is my truth. Now, what is it about me that I can think somehow I don't fit in the senior citizen category? It's the blind spot syndrome. someone in a life group is a verbal dominator. They are destroying a group. They have a case of motor mouth. They can't turn the engine off because they claim they've lost the keys. Now, everybody in that group knows there's a problem, except the problem. The truth is, you and I don't know all the truth about ourselves, but others do. This is such an enormous problem in the human condition that the Bible addresses it from cover to cover. Now, to unpack this a little bit further, we're going to look at one little story from the life of King David. In fact, the scriptures will be there. Would you follow along as I read, and then we'll talk about this story. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb that he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, and instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious when he heard this story. "As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul.'" Now, David is an unlikely choice, but David will become king. And as king, he has everything at his disposal. Everyone answers to him. He has fabulous wealth. And David also has plural wives. But he decides that he is going to steal the wife of another man simply because he could. We know the story of David and Bathsheba. She is pregnant, and David will abuse his power as king to cover up his adultery and to destroy her husband, who is Uriah. And by the way, Uriah is one of his most loyal military warriors. But David will set him in a place knowing that he will most likely be killed in a battle. Well, 9 months go by, and he is writing psalms. He's ruling over Israel as though he's a man of integrity. How in the world can this be? A prophet comes into the scene whose name is Nathan, and God will inform Nathan about David's truth. Nathan will ask for an encounter, a meeting with the king. And he comes and he says to David, tells him this story that we just read. He says, "David, I know a man who is very wealthy. He's got everything at his disposal, great herds and flocks. But I know another man who has very little. He has just one sheep, who is like a family pet." He says, "This very wealthy man has outside guests coming to visit him, and he decides that he wants to put on a lavish meal for those who have come to stay with him. And instead of going to his own herd, his own flock, he's going to steal and slaughter this one little precious lamb from this man who has very little. And he's going to put on this grand meal as though it is an act of his generous hospitality and as though it was coming out of his own pocket. Now, Nathan then almost waits. There's this silence as he wants to hear the king's response. Now, David doesn't for a moment look guilty, caught, or embarrassed. He is just simply, the Bible says, furious with the man in the story. His heart burns with anger. He said, if you can imagine this, tell me it's not true. He's going to invoke the name of God into this setting. As surely as the Lord lives, spoken with such self-righteous judgment and piety, that man, excuse me, that man deserves to die. David pronounces judgment on that man. And then Nathan, the prophet, turns and says, David, the truth is that you are that man. My ability to be self-deceived is frightening. Many of us, we live with ourselves for decades, and yet we are still strangers to our own character. Self-deception is such a mystery. Here's a question that I use steadily to help me root out this lack of self-awareness in my own life. And here's the question. Am I quicker these days to assess and bring judgment on others, or am I quicker to see and feel the painful truth about myself? Now, David, as king, will sit and rule over cases that come before him, dispensing judgment and injustice. He can see with clarity the wrongdoing in somebody else, and yet he is blind to what's in his own heart and mind and behavior. We all have 20/20 vision when it comes to the faults, the flaws, and the failures of others, but we can have a complete blindness when it comes to ourselves. Jesus uses this metaphor of vision in the Sermon on the Mount. Follow along as I read Matthew 6:22-23. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now, as we age, there is with physical vision a loss of focus. The eye lens actually becomes, it loses flexibility. It hardens. It gets stiff and stubborn. You can detect things at a distance, but you struggle to see what's right in front of you. The closer it is, the less well you can see it. James in the New Testament writes and says that even religious faith can keep us from seeing the truth about ourselves. Follow along in James 1. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then you will be blessed for doing it. James says you can't just be a listener. You can so easily deceive yourself. Therefore, you must keep a steady look at the truth, or you'll forget what you look like. It's possible for me to carry an internal picture of what I think I look like until I look in a mirror that reveals the inescapable, unavoidable truth that I'm a senior citizen. Internally, I don't see my age. It doesn't matter if I don't want to be a senior citizen. I am one. Who has ever looked in a mirror and seen something you didn't like? In fact, so many of us have had the experience where somebody took a photo, a picture of us, and we saw it later on, and we thought this thought, is that what I look like? The Bible gives all kinds of word images about what the Bible is like. And here, let me give you just a few. The Bible is referred to as solid food. It's referred to as a sword, a fire, and a hammer in the book of Jeremiah. Seed, a lamp, a light, water, gold and honey, and an anchor. But I think my favorite is that the Bible is called a mirror. That's the word image that James looks. Now, for a mirror to be useful, you got to look at it. You can't walk by and glance at it. In fact, in the ancient world, mirrors were not the refined mirrors that we know today, but they were a highly polished metal. So you had to look and keep looking. James says, don't stop looking. Truth from God that is brought to you by the Holy Spirit is indispensable for self-awareness. Self-awareness really isn't about you. Self-awareness is really God's awareness of me. It is awareness that is coming from God and His Word to me. Self-awareness is something so much wider and something so much deeper than a psychological discovery. Instead, it is a spiritual discovery, and that's why the Word of God is necessary for such self-revelation. So if I read the Bible without seeking to obey what it says, if I read the Bible without recognizing how far short I fall from being a Jesus kind of person, I can even use the Bible to deceive myself. I can think, you know, Jesus got a really good deal when He got me. He's lucky that I chose to be on His team. The question of the ages is really this, the cultural question especially, because we can read the Bible and think, you know, I'm really a good person. Are we good and getting better? Are we essentially good and just improving? And the Bible shouts to us, no. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, our therapeutic culture will never say truth like this to us. Paul says, there's something you've got to hear. There is something in you that will deceive you and put your life at risk. So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And then he says, by the grace given to me, I speak these words to you. See, truth is not the enemy of grace. Truth is not opposed to grace. Truth instead is the gift of grace. In John 1:14, John says, Jesus came among us and He was full of grace and truth. I received a letter from, it was unsigned, but it was sent to the office. and I got this letter, and it was someone reflecting on their experience being with us one weekend. And the letter was really disheartening. They said the people were unfriendly. They said the parking was abysmal. And then they said the sermon was pathetic, those exact words. So I wrote them back and I said, I'm so sorry you came on a weekend when Thomas Hughes was preaching. No, 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 no. It was not Tom. It was my sermon. And as you know, I've done some humdingers, but it was all me. Now, as I sat with that letter, I could feel a rot beginning to happen inside me. And I had just an instant response. There was some anger. There was defensiveness. I wanted to go on the attack. I thought, this person knows nothing about us. The last thing we are is an unfriendly church. They don't know anything about me. And I just wanted to make them feel bad. I wanted to write back and say, you know, you're ugly and you have body odor. And so, Mr. Stinky, we don't want you around here anyway. But as I sat with those words, I realized that I remember clearly as I read the scriptures and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want this to plant a seed in me that's just going to cause destruction. And as I began to pray, I remember the glorious freedom that came to me as the Lord revealed a couple things about me. The first was, Mark, you are pretty quick to reject hard observations about you. Now, it's one thing to defend something. It's another thing to become a defensive kind of person. And by the way, those feelings of anger and attacking and defensiveness, I didn't have to work on those. Those are just in me. But as I sat with that, the Lord gave me this one little statement. It's familiar to all of you. But it was a game changer for me years ago because of the truth that he revealed to me. Mark, eat the meat and throw away the bones, but it's not all bones. See, the truth about me is that apart from Jesus Christ, I don't even really want the truth about me. The truth about me is only God knows the truth about me. The truth is that if I'll face the truth with Jesus, it will hurt so good. No, it will even do more than that. It will kill you, but it will bring you back to life. Jesus said again and again, I tell you the truth. And these words, which will be sort of a theme verse for us in these weeks, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, truth will liberate you, but first it will make you miserable. The truth about me, the truth about you, is that only God knows what is true, the true you is really like. What if we could just live and be honest with each other? Grace and truth, where we lived our lives with each other without defensiveness and resistance and stubbornness. What if we all longed for truth and grace because we were so rooted in the love of God? This, my friend, is what it looks like to live full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand. I can't explain this process by which this mysterious, strange work happens. But when it does, God turns the lights on, and I can see. What glorious freedom. And only God can do this. When it happens, instead of being proud, I can see, but you are full of darkness. Instead, I go quiet. I get soft. I get open, hungry, needy, and humble. The one prayer of my life is, God, will you remake me? God, give me all the truth that I can handle for this day. There's one question that matters, only one, as you begin each day. God, what do you want to do in me? Even as I wake up and look in a mirror, just as that mirror tells the truth about my physical body, God, reveal truth to me about my character, my words, my habits, and my ego. See, I'm created and you're created to live and to walk in truth. Churches are meant for that. Families, marriages, husbands and wives are to live in grace and truth. Parents are to parent with truth and with grace. This week, let it be your prayer. God, reveal truth to me about who you want me to become. I pray that these weekends together in this new series, To Tell the Truth, will lead us to new levels of freedom in our lives. Well, we're going to close our time by coming to this communion table. There isn't anything that shouts truth and grace more than these elements. Jesus, at a final meal with his disciples, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body that is offered, that is broken for you. Take and eat this, and every time you do, it will remind you, you will consider and think about me. And then in the same way at the meal, he took a cup and he said, a new covenant is being established for the forgiveness of sins. It will require the shedding of blood. So wherever you're at, if you have a piece of bread or some crackers, some juice, whatever you've got there, would you, as we pray together, and then we'll receive communion. Lord, thank you for the truth of the gospel, your body that was broken on our behalf, your blood that was shed, that can remake us and recreate us. We come to this now. And so would you take this bread and would you eat it? And then in the same way, would you take the cup and drink from it? And as we do this, we remember him. Lord, we thank you for the gift of grace and truth that has been extended to us in Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord, we pray. Amen. Bless you guys.
Jesus, Jesus, you're the answer to all I'm searching for. Jesus, Jesus, there's no question, you're what my heart is longing for, 'cause you're my You're my strength, you're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very source, my guiding light, wherever Jesus, 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 Jesus. searching for. Jesus, Jesus, there's no question, you're what my heart is longing for. Let's sing, you're my hope, God, 'cause you're my hope, you're my strength, you're my peace in the storm.
Thank you again for joining us online today. If you made a decision for Jesus today, please email or text us so that we can follow up with you. I want to remind you again this week that we have daily touch points and our digital discipleship happens this Wednesday night, and all of these are available on our social media. You can find and follow us on any of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Let me close with this benediction. It's from Romans 8, 38 through 39. And this is what it says. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessings on you. See you next week.